I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and each step. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies, nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it result. Willingness is the name of the key to the eight awakening. Or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. understand suffering. His ending suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Rebecca.
So I've been looking at the process of identification and disidentification.
Uh-huh.
Looking at all of how the elements, how it works, and how it happens.
Yeah, how it happens, identification and disidentification, all those different elements and parts.
Yep, and it'd be fun to sort of explore it in a facilitation way like this. So, I recently went through a period of time of a pretty deep identification, and then the whoosh of disidentifying. And on the tails of that whoosh of disidentification, there's such a clarity of watching the process, you know, when it starts to try to grasp and get me back, that it's this real prime time for seeing the whole thing.
Yeah, and that whoosh, you can, you're just whooshing rather than identification and disidentification. There's that awareness, and you can really see it doing all those things, trying to get you back. It is kind of a very, I don't know if it's a rare place, but it's a very, we're grateful for that place, because we get to see how it's operating, how the identification process works.
Yeah. So here's kind of what I've thought about so far, that an intimate connection between the seeing through the karma. So I'm looking at the world through the lens of the karma.
Uh-huh.
Not seeing through it, it's recognizing it, but seeing it through that lens.
Yeah, seeing through the lens of karma.
Mm-hmm. And the process of letting the person at the bottom of the well talk.
A connection between those.
Something about those two. Because when I listen back to the recordings that I made during that real period of identification time, I hear the person talking so through the karmic lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I also hear the mentor say things that speak really to the heart that were absolutely not available to me when they were coming out of my own mouth.
Uh-huh.
You know? Uh-huh. And I could only hear it later.
From that disidentified place.
Well, I wasn't even totally disidentified. Yeah, by and large. That's sort of even a process. But yeah. And it speaks to a little bit about what we were talking about last week in Sunday group about the intuition being visible only in this direction. You know?
You see the intuition going in one direction.
Yeah, back. We can only see it in hindsight.
We can only see it in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you're listening back in a more disidentified place, you can hear the person looking through the lens, the identification, and the mentor responding, pointing at the heart of everything. But even though that was coming through you, you know, that awareness pointing at the heart of everything, there wasn't really access to that until there was more of a disidentified place. Then you could see, kind of in hindsight, all the insights that were there.
That the mentor was there all along.
Yeah, the mentor was
there
all along.
The mentor was actually on track, which I would have sworn, no, mentor was not on track.
Yeah, from the...
I would have sworn that.
Yeah. That's a good reminder that we would swear something. But yeah, maybe we're identified, but right.
There's something else that we because that's what points to the importance of saying, of letting that person talk. Like there's a, like if I hadn't and it's not easy, even in the identification, it wasn't easy to let that come out on the recorder. Well, probably, I mean, obviously, ego did not want that to come out.
Yeah, the resistance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ego's a recorder.
Yeah, so, let's see. So having the depth practice, willingness, good grace, good fortune, whatever, has enabled me to do that right-handed recording and get it out there. And let that person at the bottom of the well talk was, and this may just be so obvious, but it was a crucial step in the whole disidentifying process.
Yeah, it's crucial to be able to let that person from the bottom of the well talk. And we just, whatever, the good graces, the willingness, that maybe we've done the two-handed recording a zillion times, and so it's acceptable to us. And something about that was critical to the disidentification place.
And in my experience with my own self and people that I facilitate, it is like customer's last stand. Like that, conditioning does not want us to go there.
Yeah.
We cannot.
But if that is a critical element of the how of disidentifying, we can see why he goes its last stand, you know, trying to not do that at all costs.
And where we go instead, and this is me, and I'll project on everyone, where we go instead is talking about that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when you were saying that. There's such a huge difference.
Who goes in big time, you know?
Yeah. And that seems like a critical element, if I'm going to project. Learning to talk from the experience rather than talk about the experience. From the experience is letting the person from the bottom of the well speak. Talking about it is, you just said, pseudoscience.
Yeah.
And learning the difference of that.
Yeah.
Because you're right, it probably would allow us to talk about.
Oh, we could do that for
forever. In fact, we probably do that to everybody else, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I predict that's when we got so sick and tired of Sangha of talking, of reporting on what ego's doing. That's sort of that level. Like, oh, for God's sake, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
that's important right there, isn't it? That there is an intuitive sense that that's not it.
Right.
And there's oh gosh, not again. Mm-hmm. Which is very different than the intuitive or the actual experience that having a voice.
Yes. Yeah. Something that's just dropping in is related to the blog on goodness, on our innate goodness. Let's see if I can see it and to say it. So in my experience of getting shown that you're looking through the karma, you're looking through it, you're not observing it, you're looking through it. and just sort of getting that intensely pointed out. And watching myself being willing to just kind of stay in that long enough to maybe a shift will happen. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like fog the way you're looking at it. It's like, okay, but there's that willingness just to stay with it. I don't know, maybe a shift will happen, even though it's not clear in that moment. There's something about that being pointed out. No, you you're not seeing it, you're seeing through it.
Yes, and when the shift happens, it's so
That's a whoosh.
It really is. I'm just getting the image of like being on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like you sign up for this roller coaster, right? You get in there on the and you know you're going to get scared and you're going to get whatever. And, but that thrill, it is addicting, And the phrase "getting drunk with power," which is the Thursday night for sure. Okay, so I want to make that connection between the goodness, because having that experience of the thrill and of the drunk with power, this is so cool when that happens, you know, the tilt, when it then comes back and tries to grab me, and then there it is again.
All the way that tries to get you into identification again.
Well, it's just doing what it does.
Doing what it does,
and it's a habit for me. So you know, see through it again. But there's a memory or an experience or something that can be drawn on so readily. That's why I call this the prime time, because it's so fresh. You know, for these period of time, right after the big identification, that it can be drawn on or accessed or something that is an experience of that goodness. That's a flow we're pointing to. That makes that so possible to see the system for just what it is, that it really feels like the most powerful place, and I might add, the place from which all kinds of interesting action flows. You know, appropriate action and flows from that. Whereas before there was all this stuff and signingness and all this, but boy, I don't know if that makes any sense. But
it's really energy talking about it, right? And just that if you sense that, you know, it's just that place of being drunk with power. You know, we talk about getting addicted to awareness practice, that's a piece of it, right? That shift, that movement, that whoosh. You know, in that larger picture, that we don't know, we just get on this roller coaster ride, and we have a sense, because as you're saying, been through that roller coaster ride enough. And you get to that place of that whoosh, that big open space, and there is, if I'm with you, there is a touching in, a real clarity of that goodness, to a degree that even afterwards, even after that big whoosh, it's still somehow accessible. So as it starts up and does this and does that and does what it does, there's still, I just project a larger awareness or some way to sort of tap into that goodness that really allows it to see, I project it, it's not personal. You know, that this is a process that happens to the person. And there's just kind of an excitement that somehow we have, some kind of agency to make that movement.
The last piece that I'll say, as I feel like I've gone on a long time, but is there's something about that is tied to, that speaks to conscious, compassionate action in a way that's not entirely clear to me, but I know there's something there.
Yeah.
Because when I said that just now about appropriate action, that was kind of tied up or inaccessible in this identification that was freed when we went to that place, it just feels like that's a really big process to explore.
It ties into your metaphor of the whoosh. Because that sort of implies something is plugged up, tied up, as you just said. Here comes the whoosh. And from that place, it's not like going to figure out anything or
right
now. As you said, the appropriate action just arises.
Yeah.
And that really relates to that process of the conscious, compassionate action.
Yeah. And the requirement to get down into that place and then you're not to get away from it. I'm upset. This is too painful. I can't I'll talk about it. I'll talk about what those idiots are doing. I'll talk about what they're going to do. But I can't go to there.
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
But when we do.
Right. That is another fun connection we've been talking about. We get kind of lost in that upset and angry and maybe injustice for things in the world.
Pseudo, whatever.
Yeah, and I can talk about all that, another connection forever, right? That's mostly what's going on in the media and things stuff like that. But to really get down underneath that, we can access that deep caring. And from that deep caring, from that deep goodness, there the action arises.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been looking at something too that I'd like to be facilitating with and look a little bit more.
Things are in the right
place. Things are so quiet here that what I've noticed is that my mind goes to wandering a lot, just wondering. Just wondering about all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
And I remember a musing article that Ashreen wrote about how does it help you to know that? And it's clear that none of it is my business. I mean, it is none of my business. But there's some kind of entertainment value. Or some kind of the time. It is the entertainment value and distractive. Now, it doesn't happen. I've been watching this. It doesn't happen in the kitchen because I'm so focused. I think. You know, I think I'm wondering if it's. I'm wondering if it's another if that's another way of conditioning. You know, I'm used to conditioning with the self-hateful voice, You know, those are in the kitchen all the time. But when I'm doing something like folding the laundry or cleaning the bathroom, I'm just having a lovely time.
No one's telling you, no, you really need to do this right.
Right. I'm just, you know, just lovely. You know, she's happy, I'm happy. My mind goes off to, gee, I wonder if the monks have indoor plumbing. You know, it's none of my business. I mean, I wonder what Trump's doing now. You know, I wonder how my husband is. I mean, that happens all the time. You know, I wonder what he's doing. And so I can catch it and bring myself back, although there's more of a pull when it's entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what if you like to play it into a book?
Yeah, and it seems, I mean, harmless, really. I mean, self-hate is obvious. Like,
right.
That's not good. But
right.
I'm just wondering, what, I mean, I love my husband, I wonder what he's doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And looking at where that comes from, and then it sounds like really noticing some elements of it, that it's a distraction,
yeah,
what we're doing, and that there's an entertainment value.
Right.
So that's a sort of wonder, what is it entertaining?
It's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, there's some kind of interest in it.
Yeah.
And so then there's another place you mentioned that, well, it's not really any of my business.
It's not, and it wouldn't help me to know it. You know,
that was the other thing that came to you.
Yeah.
Especially when you're saying.
Ashreen's article came right there. How would it help you to know this? None of my business. Uh-huh. It's just.
So that dropped in.
Mm-hmm.
How would it be helpful to know this? What a nice screening brain lock that's going on that I
have. Oh, that is.
Yeah.
That is.
Which sounds like it kind of lets you, those elements of distraction, entertaining, keep taking away from what you're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see them enough that I can use them as a cue to get back here.
And that's what's so great, right? About seeing that and then using it for your benefit. Oh, it's that process again. That's your cue to bring your attention back to this here.
It's such a cool tool. Just kind of So that's just another level of practice for me then.
Uh-huh.
With that pull to come back. So it's so different than the hateful voices. You know,
yeah.
I kind of onto those. And then I'm doing with power and just know. But this is kind of, it just seems kind of, oh, it's not, yeah.
That's so bad.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you ever followed it along. But sometimes we say, oh, it ends in a train wreck.
Is what?
It always ends in a train wreck.
Oh.
So, like, for example, you know, one for me is, oh, I think it would be such a great idea. And if you follow that along, where does it end up leading you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a place of energy, presence here, or somewhere else.
Right. Or I might miss something in the bathroom that needs to, you know, there could be
something that we're doing, we're not paying attention to.
Right.
To something that we're
trying
to sort of.
On days.
Including, by the way, this person.
Yeah. I guess it's not kind to not to take me away from here. It's just not kind.
Yeah. Maybe it's not kind when you're taking away from being present.
And also day three in the Making a Change book, three or four, was about attention lives in the field of awareness. Is it that way? Attention lives in the field of awareness. And to notice when I go back and forth. So this seems to be a manifestation of that, of attention going to wondering.
Yes. Yeah, you're aware. You're folding the towels. You're also aware of the towel. You're also aware of, hey, and watching how the attention just gets drawn down. Of course it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I've been trained like that for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now it's just having that insight of like, huh, it seems kind of innocuous or kind of fun.
Right.
What's the big deal? But now I'm kind of suspecting, well, maybe something else is going on. Maybe it's not so innocent.
Yeah.
And so using that as a cue to bring yourself back to here.
Yeah, this is tough. I'm trying to see it's not really taking care of me.
Yeah.
It's kind of false. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, this is another facet of practice. It's a tricky one because it's even kind of interested. I'm being curious, or it could be all kinds of things.
Yes, I did follow for that.
Yeah, I'm curious. But again, we just get to, just as you were saying, get to watch it to really look back my actual experience.
Mm-hmm.
What happens.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, I'm starting to see, gosh, maybe that's not so kind.
Mm-hmm. Especially that, how would it help me to know this? I mean, sometimes I'm curious, and it would help me to know it.
Uh-huh.
In the kitchen, for example.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, it just takes me away.
That's kind of a litmus test, that question. How would it help me to know this?
Yeah.
What is kind of an authentic curiosity, and what is ego just pulling out more subtle ways to get me out of here?
Yes, that's good.
Well, Rebecca and Sequoia and I were at a workshop yesterday, and so I only say that because I'm counting on one of them to remember what I'm not able to remember about this.
Okay, we're doing it together.
Yeah. But the person was talking about a situation where I say to you, or you say to me something, and I say, oh, huh. And you say, well, you know, I told you that. And I say, no, you didn't. Which I can't imagine there's anybody on the planet who has not had that experience.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're completely convinced that we had an entire conversation about this. I'm completely convinced that I've never heard of this before. Okay? And the point was made that we're both right. Because, and now, at whatever point they're going to jump in and tell me what this was called, but what happens is that you said something to me that basically took me into conditioned mind. You said something to me that was unknown, unfamiliar, I couldn't relate to it, and I left. And you kept talking because I looked like I was there,
right?
And so you're giving me all of this information, but it's not going anywhere. It's one of those Teflon, right?
Yeah.
It just goes right off the, and then it doesn't matter, right? Because we weren't going to sign a contract or anything, so it didn't actually come to either of the attention of either one of us. That we have not had a conversation.
But if you're standing on the outside, you might seem like you have a conversation.
You know you told me.
Yeah.
I know you didn't.
Right. Which is, as you said, both true. Because the
both
person,
true.
And, you know,
I think marriages have ended over this. Right?
All relationships.
Yes, absolutely. Jobs, whatever.
Jobs.
So now maybe you can ask them. It looks like somebody has
Rebecca.
An idea.
Well, I can't remember the initials exactly, but something reference system. So you hear a word or something that you don't recognize, circadian. I don't know that word. So you're talking to me. You've just used that word. I don't know that word. I'm searching in my brain. What does that word mean? Have I heard that word before? You know, and then we're trying to make sense of something that came in. That's where I've gone. And there was some initials that there is a process that's called that maybe clear and stuff.
Yeah.
And just as Rebecca laid that out, it's fascinating that what I didn't do is say, what was that word?
Yeah.
Or what do you mean? Or
right?
I don't refer to you
as
the other person in the conversation.
Which is
right?
Thing,
I go right into conditioned mind where I live.
Yeah.
Okay? My
that's
really important relationship.
Yeah.
This is where we need to resolve all these things.
Yeah.
But I just I was aware, so aware of it this morning, because we have a facilitator, right? And that's the magic of facilitation. It can't happen. That just can't happen, because we are both required to be here relating about. So if you said something to me, I would facilitate you and increase my chances of actually being present for what you said.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not, because in facilitation, sometimes we're just so focused on facilitating the person, but there something is going to flag me, because I can't just go off into my head.
Yeah, it becomes very obvious. There's sort of an accountability. I think it reminds me why base of facilitation is reflective listening.
Yes.
Because often in relationships, we're not checking. So if I hear you, we're not doing that. And I was also looking at it, at least my experience is, I'm trained to nod and smile whether I understand or not.
Precisely.
So yes. I could be giving an impression that I am listening to you. Mm-hmm. But really what's going on, as you said, and as Rebecca said, I'm referencing conditioned mind, our primary relationship.
Right. I'm somewhere else entirely. Uh-huh. But I'm not giving any indication that that's the case.
I might be giving it the opposite one.
Yeah.
Unless someone who's saying is watching closely, kind of like, the eyes seem kind of over there. But
it's
most of us
around, they're focusing backwards. Yeah.
But I love seeing my experience of that. And I mean, at least for me, when I'm talking to someone, I'm not always paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. Are they here listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm again, as the speaker, referencing
that's right.
whatever the authority is telling me to say. Mm-hmm. That's the primary reference point, not the relationship I'm in. Is this in the communication book? Is it really
gonna it's going to be in the communication book, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
And I will find out what that other, I don't know if it's a scientific thing. I mean, it was just a, you know, kind of casual part of the conversation. And so I don't know, I'm curious to know if there's a lot of research behind this, or, you know, people have just observed that, what an explanation for that. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You did not tell me that.
Yeah.
Yes, I did tell you that.
Yeah.
We were standing in the kitchen, remember, and you were...
I'm going to show that to my parents, because my mom...
Yeah.
And I love it, too, because it looks at what's going on, how that's happening, rather than what we're trying to do, which is to blame somebody.
Yes, which is what I love about the conclusion is... You're both right.
Yeah.
You're both absolutely speaking to your experience.
Yeah.
That never happens to me.
So, I actually wanted to say something about the previous interaction about just doing something and the mind. It's constantly coming up with things that are not in the moment, you know, just looks away. And
that is the key thing right there, isn't it? A bunch of things that have nothing to do with what's going on now.
Yeah.
And all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. But in my experience, there's a discrete list of what those things are. There's almost never a new thing.
There's like a menu.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's
new? Yeah, this one always gets. It's been useful over the years to think of that as a kind of addiction. Because it kind of follows the pattern of what I read. Because I have no experience, that sort of follows the addiction path. I've said many times that I was addicted to distraction.
Yeah, I was addicted to distraction. It's helpful to see it that way.
Yeah.
I'm assuming opposed to somehow being blamed that you shouldn't do that, you know what the menu is, that kind of thing.
Yeah. that's that. Thank you for saying that. That is a huge, has been a huge step in my practice for years of getting to that place where nothing bothers the coming back. One of the conditioned mind, whatever it is, you may be stand, whatever length of time, in that place, not present. And then with the tap on the shoulder comes, and there's a coming back to presence, nothing follows it. No, you shouldn't have done that.
I see. Yeah, that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seeing it as an addiction allows you, it sounds like, to practice dropping that self-hate. So that's what goes on, doesn't it? Like, here's the menu. Issues is something we've been so trained to go to those things that we find ourselves, we don't find ourselves, we are, that's happening. We get called off into that, we're gone for whatever length of time. Something wakes us up, and what we're usually meant to wake up into is some kind of eating, right? Which punishes us really from coming back to presence. But what's really changed, and which is huge, is now when you're coming back, there isn't that punishment. Or that understanding, or maybe less so. And there's an understanding of how it works. It's not your fault or
it happens constantly through the repetition.
Yeah.
Very often.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's the same story of experience. And I noticed today in meditation that is being met with this, we shouldn't be doing this. We should. Some kind of judgment in there.
And it's throwing things into the way that you do
that. It brings up that same
story.
It's not a big idea, yeah, it's a story. It's a fantasy. That's never going to happen.
Right. Those are the favorite ones that give us.
Yeah.
Here's something you really love, it'll never happen. Yeah.
And now what I want to happen is, now that I've seen it's always there, and it's always met with resistance. Now what I hope happens is that it's away. So,
it's always met with resistance, and then what
will go away? And now what I hope will happen is that it will go away. That's not quite the direction either.
Because hoping that it goes away, that's your experience of that.
It's
just another form of resistance. Yeah. Well, we often talk about wearing things away.
Yeah.
And that's really what fear is describing. Watching that process. Watching it enough to know how many people wear that. There's actually the same several things that it brings over and over again. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I recognize this. And watching that whole process, which we can all relate to, I'm sure, of I'm aware of this process, yet I'm still engaging in it.
Yeah.
Right? And then watching how often there is a place where you wake up out of that, and then there was used to be a meeting, but now through practice there's not as much of that. And then seeing, like, oh, like, this story is often a fantasy, and watching, gosh, there's something, a voice that says, oh, I wish this would end, and then go, oh, I know that's resistance. I mean, there's just so much being seen in that place.
And as you're reflecting, it occurs to me, I can be grateful for that. That same thing, that same thing,
yeah,
be triggered. Because it's so obvious.
Yes.
It, you know, it seems like maybe there's something going on about it's the same thing, and it's always there in meditation. That maybe there's something to see. Maybe this content. Maybe there's an element to it that has a different, has a more to it than swimming, spinning away from the present moment.
Yeah, grateful that it's the same thing. It signals, oh, it's that process again. Sherry and I talked about, what if we just woke up into someone else's karma? In a way, what a nightmare that would be, because you wouldn't recognize anything, right? But because it's going on over and over again, it helps us, it kind of signals us that process is going on. And you've been seeing the same story over and over again. And gosh, just kind of wondering, well, it's still here. So maybe there's something else for me to see about it. Maybe it has something else to teach me. Something like that. Which is a very different perspective, isn't it, than which we don't relate to, but gosh, I wish this would stop. There's kind of that movement of, there's another layer here.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not. Yeah.
Maybe this is just one that has proved to be effective in taking the attention. What else? We'll see.
Yeah, right. We'll see. Yeah. Yeah. Colin.
Something about letting go of the conversation is what I'm really at the moment. And I've noticed that I'm sort of being followed around by this sort of nervous, chattering voice that's quite anxious, and we've got to remember to do this, and don't forget to do that, and it's sort of just talking all the time. And I just noticed, well, I don't really need that somehow. I'm adequate to the schedule and to drop that. And there was a thing just before I came up here, I was looking at the fortune card, it just dropped in that my batteries were low. So, okay, so I've got that information, I need some batteries. And then this voice comes in, oh, don't forget the batteries, I'm very terrible at this. And I don't need that extra bit, the information dropped in.
Yeah.
I don't think that followed me all the way up.
Yeah. I love the description. I mean, it really highlights that that's not you, it's following you. Calling or whatever you are, and it's following you around. And we're most of the time, we're just going along as if that's us. Well, don't forget this, why don't you, you know? But it sounds like almost like a something going, wait, I don't think I actually need this. I'm actually adequate to my life. And then you had a direct experience of that. It dropped in, the batteries are low. Right? There's the information. There you are, I receive it. And then right on the heels, well, but you have to do it, and it starts to get you back into that thing. There you go, you stop. Wait, actually, I don't need that. I don't need to carry that around with me.
Yes, so it seems like the space
opening
up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more like an invitation to come in. It's not, I want to do that, because that sort of was what I came here to do. Is that really what I wanted to talk about? And there's this fear arising, I think. At this point, so that there's an invitation to drop that, but then there's a more sort of nebulous, subtle fear arising that says, oh, you won't be alright. So I'm trying to see my adequacy, I will be alright, and that is actually what the step I want to take.
Yeah.
So I'm just at that point there. And I was just remembering doing some sort of challenging things sort of in the past where I thought I was the nervous voice, and that was me, and that the mentor was reassuring me that whatever happens, it was to be alright. Mm-hmm. And it seems different now, because I'm seeing that nervous chatter isn't me, and that I'm adequate. So someone's sort of challenged there.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I'm just ready to sort of take that step. But I suppose, to see that life is adequate and I can be present to life.
Yeah.
And I don't need that conversation. But it's like, oh, that wasn't quite how I thought. You know, I had this idea of how it was going to be. That's not quite what I was expecting. Great. So I'm really glad about that. But it's just. I mean, like, is that really, oh, right, this is what I'm doing, isn't it? And
that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Wait a second, I wasn't sure I was ready for that, or if that wasn't quite how I thought I was going to go.
Yeah.
But what you wanted is occurring.
Yeah, well, yes. It is, yes. But anyway, I suppose it's now, it's like, oh, is that really what I wanted? So, but well, no, it's just, I thought this week was going to be like absolutely awful and terrible, and I, it's going to be,
The wizard is telling us this is going to be awful, it's going to be horrible, but I mean, go to the monastery for 30 days and just, I mean, it'll be awful, but it'll be good in the end.
No, but I suppose mean, what the thing is, it's not like me, that this is what I want and this is what I'm going to do. It's a different place. It's an order, stepping in, it's more
an invitation.
This openness and invitation into something. It's not a willful, this is where I'm going and this is what I want to get to.
Yeah.
It's, would you like to come in?
Would you like to come in? And you're, in fact, you're stepping into that invitation, you're saying yes.
Yeah, but that, I suppose that's what's different from my experience.
That is different.
Because it's always, well, I want this and I want that, and it's all going to be this and this. And it's more.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't driven the bus, this is what I want, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And this is a very different process.
Yeah. It's that thing about coming home, that it's a return, you know. I don't know, it seems to have a completely different sort of flavor to it.
Yeah, a very different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I get my project, not a tense or a nervous energy or a willful, but more of a, how would you describe the coming home, being invited.
Yeah, there's a lot of openness, there's a lot of peace about it. Actually, I quite like just sort of being here, looking in kind of thing, quite happy.
I love that. So, we often say this, right? It tells us the process is going to be possible. Tell us the opposite. Because what the experience is you quite like it. You like being where you are. You like looking in. You like being part of this. You like seeing the invitation. You like saying yes. That's actually what's true about your experience of this.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's my experience. Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a really good one to have on here because, like you said, there that space opens. You know, there's the invitation, and I reject the acceptance of the invitation. And then that fear comes up. And we can just sort of guess whose fear that is, right? Because what you're saying is, at least what I hear, is I've come here to drop this conversation. I've come here to drop this anxiety problem. But of course, that is life you're talking about dropping. Yeah. So it's going to throw that up. And I love what you had a really articulate way of describing the practice. So it's coming up and essentially saying, you can't be, you're not going to be okay if you don't keep, this is keeping you straight on or keeping you doing your tasks or however it's sounding that. But the other voice that was coming in is, you're adequate. Life is adequate. You're doing just fine. We're going to be here together. Whatever happens. Those reassurances that I heard you say are really the antidote, and it's actually the directing of the attention to what's true.
Yes, and I'm just remembering about the adequacy. It's not that there's a me that can be adequate, it's that life is adequate.
Yeah, that's bigger than that, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's quite a different intent. Mm-hmm. So, moving from the me who's trying to be adequate to see that the whole of life is adequate, that I'm part of that.
I can project it. That me, who's adequate, can kind of seem like me and then the world. There's still that separation. But if life is adequate and I am life, that's a very different place to be practicing from.
So I do think I need to do a bit more,
So when we say, I do hear you'll be out there on your recorder.
Oh, it's so funny. I was just, so much struck me in as I was listening. When, especially around the 200 recording, and noticing the difference between an eye trying to manage it and just doing it. So, I start talking along in the right hand, and I notice this process start with us, like, almost like diagnosing what's going on. Well, I think what we've got on our hands here is a case of identification with this, and it's like, alright, I see that. Because that's come up so many times in the 200 recording, it's like, there's kind of a lightness or a joke, and it's like a laughing at that and keeping going, like, alright, so you stick with it, what's the experience like?
Yeah, there's a coaching, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the habit, essentially, that we're talking about, to talk about.
Exactly.
Diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And then you've just seen that, whatever that is, so many times.
Yeah.
And it sounds like almost like an acceptance of that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep in coaching and directing the attention. Mm-hmm. That's really come around to, okay, what's your experience?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we need, isn't it?
Yeah.
That assistance.
Exactly. Just keeping on asking, what's it like?
Uh-huh.
What's it like?
Yeah.
What's it like? Stay here. And,
just
good. Or that reference thing, yeah, right? About what's going on. And it's like then, when I listen back to that, so often the experience is like, whatever suffering places there gets seen, and it's like something comes to meet it, like in that same moment, like whatever clarity or reassurance or just seeing it, it's like boom, and it's like you can just so see that eye trying to get in the way and figure it all out and analyze it.
Yes. Trying to get in the way
of that meeting, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can feel the kind of energy of that as it happens.
You feel the energy of that?
Yeah, of that meeting, of that seeing the human and the you know, conscious compassion of the way of moving it, seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Where do you feel that energy?
It's kind of down here.
Down here.
Tara, yeah.
Tara, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, what a fun process.
Yeah.
You know, the habit starting off on the right hand is to talk about, there's the coaching,
yeah,
to come and talk from the experience.
Yeah.
Once the word that kept coming for me is that calibration.
Mm.
Okay, that's about, this is experience, this is talking about, this is talking from. And then it sounds like, once I was with you, once you get to that place, so you're also using the image of letting the person from the bottom of the well speak,
yeah,
talking from our experience, then that comes up, and then the light, the clarity, whatever is there to assist,
right?
Whoever wants to be that human, that person,
mm-hmm,
just meets, there's that meeting.
Yeah.
And then you can feel it energetically in the body, in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I had an experience that the other day where I was just keeping on with that right-handed recording.
What's it like?
Well, this is just one session, but
uh-huh,
just coming back, yeah, and back, and what's it like? And by looking back, what I heard was, I'm just going to be with you as you be with it all. So it was like, you know, completely, something completely with her, not nothing to fix, nothing to change,
yeah,
nothing to say, I'm just going to be with you as you be with it all. And
yeah. It doesn't jump on the diagnosis.
Right.
Well, I mean, and yeah, you're right. It just goes to, and tell me about your experience. Tell me.
Yeah.
And what you heard in listening back to that is, I'm going to be with you.
Right.
No matter what's going on. That was the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, that really sounds like it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As you laid it out, it just kept doing it. It just,
yeah,
kept coming,
yeah,
back here.
Yeah. Yeah. And just how much the experience of being facilitated by an external person has helped me get there. Like, so there was an experience of being in group, and I was talking about this recent loss, but a dear person in my life who just died. And the experience was of the guy just staying right with me, like, not, there was no kind of processing of it, but just right there with the experience. You know, it's like really getting it on that experiential level that I don't want anything other than, oh, like, the human doesn't need anything other than that unconditional love and acceptance and presence, right? And so then noticing how that showing up in the two-handed recording and listening practice, I'm just going to be speaking with you as you do that. Oh, it's like, well, you know, just, yeah, really taking that in and really seeing it.
Yeah, gosh, so lovely, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we get to be facilitated, as we've been talking about this morning, and what we saw with the guy from this particularly a loss, was there's nothing to figure out or diagnose or analyze, but just simply being with the person, and you have to see on an experiential level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a chance to go to that place, we could say, where there is nothing else but just to be with her, that unconditional love. And now you know that place.
Yeah.
And so then essentially, you're just practicing,
mm-hmm,
that with yourself. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, and just one last quick thing. It's coming back in this conversation that I remember, I think it was like the first week I moved to the monastery, and we had some sort of group in here. and the doors were sort of roof in the meditation hall, and the doors were closed. And the question was asked, why are the doors closed at this time when the doors are usually open? And I remember talking, about how this process of like looking at wealth. I noticed somebody vacuuming in here earlier, and that's probably why the doors were, and getting to the answer about why the doors were closed. And what was pointed out was, that's not curiosity.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I remember the time. Exactly, but you're so in the thing you can't see it. I was like, no, I really think that's because this is what I've been told since that system took over to get me looking to it, is curiosity. And I'm like, and you're saying that's not, no, I think that really is curiosity. I've been doing this for years under the guise of being called curiosity, it must be. And then also,
the answer. I know the answer.
Exactly. And it was like, well, it's curiosity now. That's not curiosity. I've been thinking all these years, that's curiosity.
Oh,
what is going on? And just that sticking with it, and that just comes back to me. So much like, oh, it's a vacuum moment. That's looking so much higher.
Yeah. And there again is that mentoring.
Right.
That's just, this is what she does. This is what she, like, she's been doing that her whole life.
Yeah.
And there's a process of waking up. And this is part of it. You don't know until you have another experience.
I just love that with practice, that process of revelation and wearing away. Since that moment of, I really think that is curiosity, or like, what is going on? And then just being worn away so you can have some distance and see that, to see the system doing its thing.
Yeah, and you know what I hear in that is there's no self-hate, which allows that revelation and learning away, and not just loving it, as you said, in the whole process.
Well, first of all, there's so much, when we're talking about the communication thing, just seeing how even in that communication, someone can say, are you with me? And, you know, even check in and still have that, you know, referencing going on, like, oh yeah, I'm with you, you know, even though you're not. I'm not, you know, but I'm still like one. Yeah.
It's amazing that we're doing that way.
Yeah.
It depends on your
identity
type. It really could be a lot of that.
There's so much of that going on. This is one of those. I don't know if anybody's seen the wrinkle. If anybody's seen the movie The Wrinkle in Time, when Charles Wallace is snatched and his eyes are spinning in his head and they're red. I feel like if you looked at my eyes this morning, they might be spinning red eyes.
Just get up in the morning and look at them. Your eyes.
Is Charles Wallace in there?
And being really identified.
Because I know, it's got out this morning, but it wasn't supposed to be smoky this morning.
I know.
And we got over that yesterday. And yeah, so, you know, this kind of.
I had a plan.
Yeah, right, exactly. So just watching that, and then, you know, as I sit in group, I see what was just talked about in that last conversation. People talk about things and then it becomes a plan, okay? A fix-it plan. Like, oh, okay, so here's what I have to do, you know, in order to fix myself and get out of this identification, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the assumption is I am identified.
Right.
And then you listen to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's how you should be.
Yeah.
And then here comes the plan to how to do that.
Right, right. So we're going to.
Yeah.
There's whole fix
one.
Plan. And then, and as I was sitting in meditation this morning, the mind began to wander, you know, and
as it will.
And I noticed that it was like, what it was wandering to was, well, when is this sit going to be over so facilitation will begin, you know, the group begins, got to get the group, and then, you know, catching that, coming back to the breath, and coming back to, I don't want to ever end just being with
fit a person exactly with the experience of this moment. And that's what I'm practicing. You know, not getting someplace else. Whatever is going on, okay, just here with that. Just here with that.
Can we say as an example of the disidentification we started to group with? So there's just that, there's that awareness, you know, that when his grieving starts.
Yeah.
And there's an awareness of that conversation. And then I can project there that space for that to come in for a second.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to stop being with this person. Right here.
Right here, right now, no matter what, no matter if her eyes are spinning red in her head or, the, you know, whatever is going on. And, you know, what was just talked about, just like, you know, what is it like to just relax into what's here now, you know, and just make it all okay and realize it's all just part of the process.
I'd like to just relax into right here and right now.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just that, it's almost like the reason, but it's almost like being guided.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah.
I don't have to fix or change, just be right here.
But it's just like, it's an incredibly revolutionary stance. To just say okay, yes to this, and I'll relax into it, and observe it and accept it. And
boy, that is a good word for it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Revolutionary. Because I think what you're saying, I mean, it's my experience is no.
Yeah.
And instead, yes.
And it just takes me back to the conversation we had about communication too. I mean, that's the whole thing with the communication process too, is there's that no going on. Like, I'm not the person that doesn't know the word. I'm not the person that, you know, that doesn't understand. I'm not the person that, you know,
There isn't that acceptance.
I don't know that word. And to use that process in that situation and just relaxing, like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. It's even funny, you know, instead of referencing that system, you know, like, what does it take to be the right person?
So that's that movement. Maybe what we're trying to do. And then just to get to that place of, like, I just want to be with this person right here, wherever. Right now, I actually don't understand the word.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it can be funny, it can be refreshing just to say, I actually don't know what we're talking about.
What a kindness for the person stuck in there to take them by the hand and say, look, we're going to find out. You know, we're going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And
because that person is being shoved aside.
Talked about,
And what a kindness to take care of them.
Have a laugh about it.
Which I can always project as a kindness for everybody else too.
It just breaks.
Because who knows what's going on with the person talking.
Exactly.
You know? And if somebody just comes from that, this is where I am and this is how I am right now.
Yeah.
That allows other people to be like that too.
That's the thing of it. Wow. I know it's the thing. In my experience, it's the thing that there's most resistance to exposing or saying or doing. It's the gift, you know, it's the thing that opens the door, not only for the human, but everybody, you know, it's just like, wow.
Just saying what's actually going on.
So,
it's
the doorway.
Yeah.
So, my
eyes
may get a
little
pink instead of...
They're kind of slowing down, as you go.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you all.